This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to September Dominion Prayers for 2025. I want to give glory to God for the organizers. I just want to say thank you to the Lord and to them, because things are beginning to work by themselves, and that's becoming a process of being blessed and becoming a blessing. And I love the fact that people are eager to pray in the days of His power. I'm going to be speaking today on Common Prayer. This will be my introductory class. So in this class, I'm going to highlight certain things that can prevent you from coming up higher. Even as a born-again Christian who is full of the Holy Spirit, who understand the message of grace, there are certain things from the scriptures that if you do not practice them, or if you continue to practice them, depending on what it is, you may never be able to move beyond a particular point in life. You may never be able to move beyond a particular point in life. And a lot of born-again Christians, they wonder why their life does not move forward, but seems to be moving in circles. They wonder why their life does not show any fruits whatsoever. They wonder. And they do not learn from their own issues, because a person who learns grows. There's nothing wrong with you living a lifestyle and making mistakes. When you make your mistakes, you are supposed to say, hey, okay, this thing is the reason why I didn't scale through the first time. And then you correct, you course correct, so that same thing will not befall you again. I remember an old quote that I came across, I believe in 1997 or 1996. It was from a book titled Kummer's Dove Connection. Well, not a Christian book, it was a novel I was reading. And in that novel, the author wrote a particular line. He said, to stumble twice over the same stone is a proverbial disgrace. I never forgot it. He said, if you trip on a particular issue the first time, that's okay. You may not see it is there. You know, some of us that drive, sometimes you are driving and you find yourself in a pothole, and you didn't know it was there. But if you go through that same road the next day, automatically in your subconscious, there is this caution that kicks in when you get around that area. You know that there's a pothole here, there's a gully. So you drive carefully. Now, for you to crash into it the second time means you didn't learn the lesson the first time. Your instinct did not acculturate or adapt to that issue. And as a result of that, you fell into the same trap, the same again and again. In true life examples, I can give you one that I know. A young lady wanted to marry rich, was always looking at marrying rich. When he sees money with any man, that's the person that she wants to be with. For her, it's not about love. For her, it's not about feeling. For her, it's not about self-development. She just wants soft life. And she so much believed that the soft life that she will have in her life is in the hand of another man. She believed it. So whenever she would go, she would deliberately dress, target those who come with big cars, those who have money. She would reserve the person. If the person has money, that's the person she wants to be with. That's the person she was with. The person was already married with children. She didn't know. She knew. But she felt, well, he will have to take responsibility for his children. If I get pregnant for him, she got pregnant for him, had children. The man died. left her with nothing, and she had two children to take care of, and she had no inheritance. The wife of that man and the children, they stood their ground and they made sure she and her children didn't get anything. And you would have thought that she would have learned her lesson. You know, she basically returned to the same playbook with two children. Now, again, she left the children with her mother and she began to target another man who she knew was married with children, but rich. She just wanted to just plug herself into somebody's money that she might live a soft life. Again, she dated this man for about 3 or 4 years, had two other children with the man, and the man died. Because this man is usually elderly or old. And again, she got nothing out of it. Now, four children, nothing out of it. And you know, all the years that I knew that woman, she couldn't play by another playbook. Only God knows how many men she dated that she had miscarriages upon miscarriages because she never had another child. But I can say at least I know 8 or 10 other men who fell into that same category that she would target. When she began to lose her beauty, she began to go diabolical. She began to augment it with African juju so that she can attract men. And yet, as all of us grew older, because they were my neighbors when I was young, as all of us grew older and I saw the impact of her lifestyle on her children, the children couldn't stay married. They couldn't, because of how their mother was, they didn't understand what it means to have a good home. They didn't, the first one got married, was always in a very abusive relationship. The only boy he had couldn't stay, was always looking to marry rich girls. He saw targets, just like the mother, was to look for a girl, a lady that has money, or the parents of the lady has money, and then insinuate himself into the person's life so that what the mother did not complete, he as a son wanted to complete it. And the two other children didn't bother getting married. They just do what they call runs. They just carry them, sleep with them, take whatever they can take, fly to Dubai today, fly to this place tomorrow, and that's how they are living their life. And as we all grew, now that all of us are in our 30s, 40s, as it is, every time I see them or they write to me or I look at them, I remember vividly how all of us were growing in the same environment and how the mother couldn't move beyond that place. You are listening to me with the ears of the Spirit today. There are certain things that you have every right to break out of them. It is not the devil. It is not an enemy from father's house. It is as a result of your thinking. Certain molds. If you program yourself to think in a certain way, the decisions you will make would fall into the category of that way. So I learned something. When I was growing up, I learned that, when I have friends, I usually want to be nice. And sometimes I have to compromise my own self so that I can meet them halfway when they want to do certain things. And when I realized that this thing does not work out for me, I decided, this is not the path I want to take in my life. And I kid you not, it is not a question of being enemies with people. It's just you must know yourself. And to yourself, you must be true as a believer. You cannot go up higher if you don't adjust your thinking. You cannot continue to play by the same rule book, especially a rule book that takes away power from your own hand. The woman I told you about, as long as any woman in this world, any woman, and I say this with all authority, any female, as long as she believes that her success in the hand of a man, either the man is her husband or her friend or her boyfriend, as long as you believe that a man owes you money, that it is from his pocket you will feed all your life. If you have that kind of thinking in your head, you can never be great. You can be a great prostitute, but you can never be great in your own destiny. Nobody's destiny is attached to the destiny of another person. That is a guaranteed truth. That is a guaranteed truth. As long as This does not mean that husbands should not take care of their wives. This does not mean that wives don't have the right to enjoy their husband's money. No, I'm saying that you have a unique destiny and you must work on how to make your own destiny great as an individual. You should not think your destiny depends on the third party or a second party. God did not empower you that he may tie you to somebody's wagon. You are by yourself complete. We are complete in him. Don't forget, it is important, especially for those of us who are full of the Holy Spirit, those of us who have walked with the Lord, who are reading our scriptures, the ability to create, the ability to make wealth, the ability to become prosperous, they are part of the innate blessings that you have in Christ. We do not struggle for these things. They are part and parcel of who we are. But in our thinking, if we do not see it, we will continue to think we are struggling where all we are doing is refusing to tap into our potentials because we wanted to take the easy way out or because we refuse to engage the use of our mind. Many Christians do not engage their minds in productive things. They would rather that somebody tell them what to do. I saw this as one of the worst things that has happened to the Church of Jesus Christ due to the way the churches were deliberately, especially Pentecostal churches, are deliberately whitewashed people's brains so that believers can think for themselves. Everything, they have to go to pastor. They have to talk. He has to be the one to give them guidance, direction. And many pastors also believe that this is, they take it because it would help them to continue controlling the sheep. This is not the way Jesus Christ wanted us to be from the beginning. We have a mind. We have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is a mind full of mysteries. The Bible says that the mystery that has been from the beginning of the world. And he was talking about the plan of God, a plan that was hatched for the salvation of the world, and God did not tell anybody. The mind of Christ is extremely rich in mysteries. So if a Christian cannot think, cannot of his own self or our own self, come up with unique ideas, and you have to follow somebody else's template or all your life, just be subservient to somebody in order to make money, then the Christian is not fully engaging the capacity that God has given him or her in his or her mind. And that way you cannot come up higher. Many of you remember Aaron. You didn't notice that throughout the scriptures, Aaron did not play any role that does not involve saying yes, sir, to somebody. He wasn't an independent thinker. Couldn't come up with ideas on his own. Couldn't lead decisively on his own. Moses was his younger brother. He was the older brother. Moses was the one that defined his office, that defined his life, that defined everything he would do. And he fitted into it. Just because that was how his mind was, a mind programmed to follow. And so I said, ah, yeah, there are some people like that. No, no, we follow to lead. Let me say that again. We follow for a season, and then the season for us to lead comes. Every one of us. We follow as children, and then one day we become parents. So the day we become parents, we begin to lead. All followers are leaders at a certain capacity or the other. So we follow to lead. We don't just follow perpetually as if we do not have the ability to lead in and of ourselves in Christ. We follow to lead. There is nobody that is leading that is not following somebody. In Christendom, every huge, great leader is following somebody, and every follower is leading somebody. So we follow to lead. Aaron was a perpetual follower. Refuses the responsibility to lead whenever he has it. He would move away from it. He would turn from it. His life was a yes, sir, life. Yes, sir. Couldn't come up with any unique ideas. Couldn't stand for what he knows to be the truth. Bible said that Moses went up to the mountain to minister to minister to the Lord and receive the commandments. Then the whole camp was quiet. People are looking for leadership. And it was the one that they could go to because it was their high priest. So they came to him and they said, "We want to move from here." Then Aaron said to them, "We cannot move unless God leads us." Then they said, "You are the priest. Ask God, where do we move to?" Then he said unto them, "Well, Moses is the one that speaks with God, and Moses is not available. Moses has gone on the mountain, so we have to wait for Moses to come back." Then they said, "You are the priest. Moses is the prophet. You too can talk to God. Moses may have died where he went to. Make a God for us so that you can talk to that God that he may lead us to where we are going." And Aaron made golden calf. Made a golden calf. That's why Aaron couldn't see visions of heaven. He was the high priest wearing the ephod, but he couldn't see visions of heaven. He couldn't go up higher. There are many born again Christians among us, like Aaron, born again, who has given their life to Christ, are full of the Holy Spirit, but they couldn't go beyond the material realm. Unless somebody is leading them, they don't know where, they will just stay put, just stay in one spot. Unless there is a pastor or a brother that will take them by the hand and say, "Well, yeah, follow me. This is the way. This is how to study your Bible. This is how to speak in tongues. This is how to..." Unless somebody is leading them that way. And even after the person has taught them everything, they will still not move until somebody... They are perpetual followers, never able to lead. They cannot teach what they know to others. They are full of lack. They are full of a lack of conviction in their own ability. They lack the conviction of their own ability to know the Lord. And yet, they will tell you, "I've been a born-again Christian for 20 years. I've been a born-again Christian for 30 years." They will be counting the years, but you cannot see the evidence in their life. I remember in Deaconess, I had a discussion with once. I had two daughters. The two daughters are very, let's use the word nicely, let me say promiscuous. The father was abroad, she was in Nigeria with the two daughters. The man had built a house somewhere around the Korodu where they were living. But this woman, the daughters just do whatever they like. When she too found mobility, she would leave them alone. And so one of the daughters began to exhibit signs that somebody had used her for ritual. She began to say things. She began to behave in a certain way, especially on certain days. She'll be shouting, "Hey," as if they are calling her from her sleep. And whenever that happens, she will begin to dry up. It was a terrible situation for this woman. And I said, "Okay, bring your daughters." She brought them. And I said, "Okay, what is wrong with them?" Ah, she said it was her husband's mother. I said, "No." She said, "Okay, if it's not the husband's mother, it is the husband's people. Their father's people." I said, "No. You are their mother. They live in the same house with you. What I'm saying here has something to do with any enemy from your father's house. What you are looking at is a result of your negligence as a mother. You are the one that is supposed to lead these girls. But somewhere along the lines, your daughters began to lead you. Your teenagers, 17, 18, 19 years old, they will tell you to shut up. They will dress up, they will go, they will come back. You will not be able to say, 'Ah, this is it.'" She said, "No, it's not so. It's their father. You know, since they began to talk to their father directly, I began to send them money directly. They have no reason to respect me anymore." I said, "What kind of mother? What kind of mother does it have to be that money is in your hand before your children will respect you? What kind of mother?" So when their father used to send their money to you as their mother, you can use the money to blackmail them to make them do certain things. But since they went to report it to their father began to send them money directly, you now lost all forms of influence over your own children. And they were young, they needed to be guided. But you are not playing the role of a mother the way you should. Therefore, now they are in trouble. And this is your future. And you are blaming other people. I said, you have to take responsibility. Otherwise, I will not pray for your children. I will allow, maybe God allowed this thing to happen to you so that you can turn and begin to play your role as a mother. You are not playing your role as a mother, and your children are suffering for it. You can say, oh, they are heady. They are too young at this age to have three, four boyfriends at the same time. They are juggling. It is not the godly way. It's not the good way. And you are a deaconess. You got ordained in the church, they put oil on your head, expecting you to go up higher. Doesn't mean you put your children in shackles. No. But if you see a godly woman raise children, you will see the children balanced. You will see the glory of God in their life, in their relationships. You will see how they will handle themselves. In the way they relate with other people, you will see it. How can you come up higher where you do not have any modicum of control? When you do not, when you've relinquished your authority as a believer, as a mother, as a father, you do not have authority, you do not walk in wisdom, and you want to come up higher. Where, which higher are you going? The one that has given unto you, has it produced results? Are you going to then come up higher with no results? According to the parable of the talents. The one he gave to, because he produced results, he then gave him more. You cannot come up higher when what he has given unto you have squandered it, or you have buried it, or you have mismanaged it. How would anybody reward you with more when you failed with little? I'm happy she heard me. She cried. She said, oh, I said, no, you don't know the scriptures. You don't know anything. You are raising your children as if a lion. You know, a lion will raise their cubs to a certain degree. And then the cubs have to fend for themselves. You know, it's not the way human beings raise children. So there are some, when they raise their children, you think they are like lions or tigers. They just give back to the children, give them a bit of nurturing so that they could manage to live life for themselves. And then they leave them to their devices. And then the children go and get into all sorts of trouble. How would you come up higher if this is where you belong? This is a very peculiar month. This month, by the grace of God, we are going to be walking in deep insights of the Spirit. We are going to acquire knowledge, not just so that we can use it to talk or preach, but so that we can use the knowledge of the Spirit of God to deepen the waters of our own life, to deepen the channels of blessings of our own life, to deepen our access to knowledge, understanding, and the realities of the Spirit, to take ourselves into the places of the Spirit where the Spirit and the secrets of God will speak life through us. That's where we are. Spiritual growth is a deliberate thing. John didn't get the invitation to come up higher in the book of Revelation until he had attained a certain level of leadership. He had already written the book of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, taking up the role of the leader of the church. Go and read your Bible. Before he took up the role as the leader of the church, he used to be one of the apostles, but he wasn't the lead apostle. So all of them were deferring to each other after Christ came. Peter, then James. James just led the church and all the others. John was an apostle, but he wasn't the main leader of the church. But yet, all the apostles died. John was thrown in the island of Patmos. The church needed direction, but there was nobody to lead. Then John took the mantle upon himself and he began to write letters to the church. He wrote the first the letter First John, it was Second John, it was Third John, sent it to the churches. Then he began to write Revelation. You will see. Then God now said to him, hey, come. This is a revelation. This is my message. Send to the church in Sardis. Send to the church in Pergamum. Send to this church in Philippi. Then God began to speak to him about the churches. Starting from the book of First John and the direction of his thoughts, suddenly he heard the voice of a trumpet, and then he heard the sound of an archangel, and then he was on his way higher. Responsibility takes us higher. If you do not perform in the role God has given unto you, you cannot say, I'm going up higher. Which higher? It's like somebody that failed primary school and says, I want to move to secondary school. No, you have to repeat the class. You must make the required credits before you can say, I'm going up higher. We cannot be negligent in our Christian duty. We cannot forsake the tenets of our own gifts, the blessings of our own placement in Christ. We cannot ignore the anointing of God upon our life by making it ineffective. But then we are saying we want to go up higher. You don't heal the sick. You don't minister the gospel. You don't prophesy. You don't use any of the basic requirements of the anointing. How do you then expect to go up higher? Did you know it was in the 3rd year of the ministry of Jesus Christ, a few months before he died, that he was able to pull off what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration? It was as a result of growth. He started his miracles by doing the very simple, mundane things. And then he began to grow into the complex things, because every little work of miracle Jesus would do, it would give him more faith, it would bolster his confidence, and then it would make people give him more challenging tasks, and then he would do the more challenging, and then it was building up until he got to Nain. He raised the dead at Nain, but then he got to Lazarus, he raised another dead, and then he died and raised himself. And that was the pinnacle of it. Everybody was like, what? Never has it been heard that somebody would die and raise himself. They've heard of people dying and other prophets raising him, but they've never heard of somebody dying and raising himself. Until tomorrow, Jesus still holds the record from time immemorial as the one, the only one, who ever died and raised himself up from the dead. But you can see that that was the highlight, the pinnacle of all the miracles Jesus did. He built it up to that level because he was building from what he had been given into the things that he would be given. He didn't come up higher in one day. It wasn't as a result of, you are here, just come with me. No, it was deserved. So, minister to you today, I'm asking you, we have 30 days to learn at his feet. You've been growing steadily in your walk with the Lord. For those of us who wake up in the morning and read devotionals, a day must come. You must grow beyond that. You must begin to write your own messages that younger generations can relate with in the language that people that understand and follow the gospel of God in you can relate with. You must begin to speak the gospel from your spirit as a channel outward. You cannot just be a permanent absorber of relationship, of sermons and words. And go, every year, new devotional is that people will buy hundreds of thousands the thoughts of another person. No, I'm not saying it is wrong. It's baby Christian level. When you want to know how a Christian is growing, when have a new convert, you give the convert a Bible. Then you give the convert a devotional. Then you make sure the convert joins a church. The convert then begins to learn the new language of the church by listening to sermons, reading the Bible, reading devotionals, praying. He begins to develop a new culture. And then after a year or two, that believer, if he is truly growing, he will also begin to speak in tongues. He will begin to give prophecies. He will also begin to write classes, teachings, sermons. He will begin to write out of what he has learned from his own well, right? He will begin to write and produce. That is how you measure growth. A believer cannot continue to ingest somebody else's material for 40, 50 years without producing anything of his own. That's what led to the Christians that built churches all over Europe that we call dead churches today, because they were not producing in themselves. When their leaders died and nobody would follow in those footsteps, the churches began to die out. We have a life-giving spirit. We are supposed to make sure that this life-giving spirit is at work in everyone. Just Christ said, all those who believe in him, he said, come unto me, come. So I will make you, I will make sure that out of your belly, didn't say one person's belly, he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Each one of us breathing, bursting forth, bringing forth the pulsating life of the spirit. So whether you are in a village or you are in a city, people will see the power of God in you for you. They will not see the power of God in you because they came after you died. They came into your room and then they saw a book. Then they saw a devotional. Then they saw a Bible. So it is by the book that they say, ah, this person is a Christian. No, that's not how we know Christians. How we know Christians is not by the books on their table or by the materials around them or by the mantle or by the anointing oil or by the Jesus they wrote on the book. No, it is from their life. We are the books that the world read. People will know you are a Christian from your life. Of course, when they look at your life and they see the book, they will not say, ah, and this man is always carrying Bible. I read that several times. Always carrying Bible and he's a wicked man. I read that several times, which means the person is carrying a book, but his life does not show the fruits therein. It is our life that is the epistle that the whole world read. Therefore, the fruits of our life and the fruits of the scripture has to be the same. When you have that kind of combination, then the person can come up higher. Person can be invited to feast with the Lord, to sit with him, to share the word of God, to sit down and hear God for himself, to know what tomorrow is like. Habits may stop you from coming up higher. Habits may stop you from coming up higher. There are people that have very bad habits. Some, the habit is in their words. They talk too much. Some people. Some even just talk too much. They say evil things about people. They just do it. They don't even know that it's the way their mind is working, that it is already always tending in that direction. They cannot stay on their own. No, adults who are going on our own money will tell you, ah, I want to go to London. I want to stay in somebody's house. The person has husband, that's children. I want to stay in person's house. Just so that they can open their mouth and poison and say all sorts. Why can't you just train yourself to stay on your own, to shut your mouth? I want to go to America, but I want to stay with somebody. At the end of the day, all the things the person needs, that either it is true or false, either it is right or wrong, some of them extremely exaggerated. Your mouth is just poisoning the ears of people. How do you come up higher? If your mouth, if everybody begins to identify you as somebody with a venomous tongue, are you a serpent? Are you a snake? Is that the fruit of the spirit? What kind, what manner of spirit? And then people identify it and are trying to help. See, this thing, this person shouldn't have this. And the more they try to help, the more you drag everybody into your cesspool. So everybody begins to run away from you. How do you go up higher? You go to this church, they chase you. You go to that church, they chase you. They've chased you in four different churches. How do you go up higher? Because this same thing is a cycle you refuse to break. It's a cycle you clung on to. Being venomous and vile in your words about other people, young people, old people, people that are supposed to respect you, that are supposed to really guard you. You drag yourself. People look at you shamefully. They talk about you with scorn. Why? How do you come up higher? How? The evidence of Christ in you and the evidence of carnality in you, we can't separate the two. It tastes you bitter in the mouth. You are not sweet in the throat. You are not sweet in the tummy. What kind of fruit? How do you come up higher? How do you come up higher? When people, one of my sisters, found herself in America where she's not with people that she knows because of work. She joined a church, just attending church. Before long, somebody came to her, "Please pray with me. I'm having issues with my husband." She prayed. The person noticed that everything she told this person, no other person heard it. Her marriage was happy. The issue was resolved. And this person is a young woman. She told another person, she said, "When I had issues, I went to speak to so and so person. The other person came to her too. Ah, this is the challenge I'm facing, myself and my husband." She prayed with her, counseled her. They went back to church. Things moved forward. Nobody heard anything. Before long, other people began to talk about it. "And there's a sister in church. She has the grace of God. She's anointed. And whatever she will tell her, she will keep it in strict confidence." I'm talking about somebody that is in her early 30s, a young mother of one. Of one. The pastor eventually had to reach out to her, "Please, I can hear good things about you." See, that's how you come up higher. That people will testify of you. Remember when Dorcas died? When people are saying about Dorcas, "This is a good woman. She took care of us. She never let us slack. She kept her confidence. She loved us genuinely. She is a mother unto us. Please, with her, come and pray. We don't want her to die." Ha! What a testimony. What a testimony. That was why when Peter got to where Dorcas was and said, it's not because Dorcas was too young to die, or because if she died, God is not glorified in her life, because for her death is gain unto God. She had not lost out anything. But God did with it to restore her to life because of the testimony of those who are around her. What is the testimony of those who are around you? What is the testimony? I go to Abuja, I hear this, your name is there. I go to Lagos, I hear this, your name is there. I go to London, I hear this, your name. In America, your name. Only you at the center of every storm. What kind of spirit? What manner of spirit? I am not a young person. Supposed to be respectable, respected. Somebody that everybody should give a certain degree of respect to. But you cannot help yourself because of a bad habit. Cure yourself of it. Because you cannot pray to God to cure you of it. Why? Christ has cured all of us of all human tendencies and frailties the moment he gave us the Holy Spirit. The cure to carnality is spiritual. Is growing in spiritual understanding and living his own life. So if you notice that you have a weakness, then you train yourself. You make up your mind. "I'm not going to live my life this way anymore." It's as simple as that. You should do self audit. Look at yourself and say, "Hey, I don't want to." Because again, you can't go up higher. If anybody places you in a place of respect, they eventually will come to scorn you. The seat you are sitting on is not a seat of respect because of the carpenter's work. It is the person that sits on the seat that determines whether the seat will be respected, whether the seat will be disdained. It has something to do with elevated office. They can make you the principal of a school or the MD of a bank. They can give you all the accolades in this world. We've seen many lecturers that have many titles, professor this, doctor this, that will sleep with one girl, and they will throw the doctor in prison. All the books, all the everything will be thrown into the trash. And person will go to prison. You see, they say, well, I say it's not in the all the accolades. It's in the person. Money can make you head of this, head of that. They can give you all the honor in this world. If you do not honor yourself, ladies and gentlemen, you are not going up higher. The spirit of honor must come from the individual. No matter how much oil they pour on your head, no matter if they wish, they should pour a gallon of anointing oil and speak all the tongues in this world. If you do not carry yourself in the manner that regards the honor of the anointing, you will not be honored. Don't allow habits to cost you, good things. How can you go up higher? Which higher? Which higher? When the angel told John to come up higher, John was already in the place of the Spirit. There is no end to ascension in the Spirit. Every place we call higher is a place to learn, to see, to witness, to observe. And once you've conquered the level, you are taken to another level. I move from that to disobedience. The things that can stop you from coming up high. The Lord gave me an instruction in 2007. I didn't know how to obey it. I'm not looking at excuse, but that's the truth. I wasn't patient enough to ask the Lord, how do I turn this thing you told me into reality? But I knew the instruction he gave me was clear. I just didn't know the path to take to get to fulfill that instruction. And you know, I never got a second instruction relating to my destiny from that day. So let me say this way so you understand. If God says to you, go to a location, God says it to you, and you didn't go to the location, you will not get the second instruction. The first instruction will stand. It's like you saying to your son, go to the bus stop. When you get to the bus stop, you will see a white Hilux with a red light. Talk to the person in the Hilux. They will give you a package, bring it home. If your child does not leave the house, the child will not get to the place where he says he should go to. Therefore, the child will not see the Hilux. Therefore, the child cannot collect whatever package you want the child to collect. So obedience always leads us to experience that leads us to fulfillment. So if you don't take a step in the direction God said you should go, you will not have the experience you need for the vision that God said you should fulfill. And it is in the process of obedience that you gain experience. Ah, God said to you, stand up, go to this place, you went there, you will see this person on the road, you see this one on the road, those are your experiences. You meet this person, you talk to this person, you get to where God said you should go, you stay there, the person you want to meet came, the person gave you a video, you answered it. All those things are part of the experience. You cannot have all those things when you are sitting at home. See how it works? So when somebody does not obey the instruction that God gives him, he or she will remain stuck. Therefore, the person cannot go up higher. Because until you obey the instruction, you cannot have the requisite experience to fulfill the destiny that God has given unto you. And God is not somebody that will say, well, I sent you to the market yesterday, you didn't go. Anyway, don't worry. Come and go to the river for me. Our parents do that. Our parents can tell you to do something. If you don't do it, they will just forget about it and send you on another errand. That is not how destiny works. God didn't just wake up. Well, even when Jesus went to meet God and just was saying, ah, this cup, change this cup. I want another assignment. God did the assignment. God did the assignment. Because that's not how destiny works. Destiny is not yo-yo. Destiny is, this is what I've set you to do. From the womb, I've set you apart. I've called you a prophet unto the nations. He said that to Jeremiah. If Jeremiah wakes up and Jeremiah says, no, I want to be a priest. I don't want to be a prophet. He will just be wasting his own time. Many of us, the reason we have not come up higher is because the instruction God gave us, we have not deemed it fit to obey God. We didn't even take any step in the direction God said we should go. We just stayed put. We just stayed put by ourselves and said, no, I'm not, God will repent and give another instruction. See, you will meet for many years. When God will come again, God will come with the same instruction. In my case, 2017, September 17, the same instruction God gave in 2007, He came to give me again 10 years later, almost word for word. Only this time, I had grown in the age and I had suffered for 10 years so that when that opportunity came, I was able to grab it with both hands. People around me at the time were all naysayers. They were saying, no, don't go in that direction. I didn't listen to anybody. In the first time, I listened to everybody. I said, ah, God said I should do this. I said, that's great. That's great. Everybody gave me wrong guidance. Second time, as I wanted to embark on what God said I should do, people are like, no, that's not the way. You must get marketers. You must get this. You must get that. You need people to help you amplify it. Look at this person's blog. Look at that person's blog. They came with all sorts. I didn't listen to anybody. I said, no. I listened to these people. I suffered. Nobody was there when I was suffering. I want to listen to God now. He said, build me a website and gather from all over the world testimonies and stories that will encourage the saints and put it there. Let people have a place to go to when they need to read. When they need to read and grow in knowledge. And that was how I created Ingaro.com. And people say, put advert. I said, no advert. Put this nothing. He said, how do you make money? I said, leave it. Ah. Is it your calling? He said, do it. I did it. Well, the first time that was said, ah, no, no. How do you get marketer? You must put out that. Look at it. They were mentioning all sorts of bloggers. Look at this, look at that. And I didn't obey. And I was the one that knew that my disobedience was costly. But when I obeyed, every other thing began to fall into place. The website is still there. It has given back to many, it has given back to apps and other things. Other writers from all over the world are also contributing into it, and it is gaining global significance. But when I was like, ah, this thing will not work, how will you sustain it? You just want to be putting stories, Christian stories and testimonies on the website to ask time. It's not even to do audio, it's not even to be doing YouTube. I wasn't putting this, I didn't listen to them. Why? Because I heard from the Lord and I obeyed. And when you obey the Lord, it will always bring you the experience you need for destiny fulfillment. So if you are here, you've been disobedient to the Lord in one way or the other, the call to come up higher when it rings is not for you. You must quickly make amends. What has the Lord told you to do? Do it. When he did tell you to go, go there. If he tells you to call somebody and say sorry, call the person, say sorry. I mean it. Let all these things be done in such a way that you can stand before God and say, ah, Lord, except for the things I don't know, but for the things you said I should do, I stand before you, Lord. I have done them all. I mean it. For a born again Christian is full of the Holy Spirit, it should never be heard that the master gave you an instruction and you will say, eh, but you say, I should say something to my wife. I just didn't say that. That's the only thing I've not done. You shouldn't have one thing that the Lord will tell you to do in your life that you can open your mouth to say, I didn't do it because of my own selfishness. Who is your Lord? Who is your master? Who are you supposed to obey in all things? How can you then have your own selfishness in this matter? How can you have your own selfishness in this matter? How can you have your own will in this matter? When you obey the Lord, all things will obey you. I say it over and over again. I just came back by the grace of God from our UK retreat. What I saw there, the wonders, the testimonies that are, they are glorious. And the reason that happens all the time is because God said, do it. I will do it. God will say, this is how to do it. I will just obey. I do not stress. I do not. I just, this is what he wants. This is his church, not my own. As long as I do his will, he does whatever is good and pleasing in his eyes for me to as a reward. And I've learned to take that as a glorious thing, that I would walk in his vineyard and he will reward me according to his good pleasure. But a disobedient child cannot say the soul. It's the same thing. If you don't obey God, you will always have crisis after crisis. You will not be coming to some of us who are obedient. You will say, come. Give me out of your profit. But I mean, come. Give me out of your profit now. It's only you that is enjoying the benefit of the Lord. Well, I'm enjoying the benefit of obedience. That is the truth. If you also obey, you will have your own benefit of obedience. But if you continue to disobey, you will continue to want to take out of somebody else's blessing. And that is because you refuse to activate the key to your own blessings in the Lord. So if the Lord has never told you to do anything, no matter how silly, I told you to build a website. No matter how silly it was, it is, do it. Do it. When it says do something, do it. And then you begin to see the wonders of obedience. Then you can begin to rise up and you can begin to go up higher. Today being the first day of the month of September, I'm acknowledging us as believers to obey the Lord in all things. When the Lord says to do something, don't argue, don't fight, don't say I'm tired. Don't say I'm tired. I believe I'm a good example in that. You won't believe. My flight into Nigeria landed a few minutes ago, less than 2 hours ago, and I've taught a whole hour of class now, and I will teach another one tonight. And I'm not doing that because I love hugging the altar. It is my calling. It is what he has told me to do. I do not give God excuses. He does not give excuses concerning my matter too. When the Lord says do something, stay true to it and do it. Do it with all your might. Do it when it is convenient and when it is not. Do it when your heart is grieved and when your heart is happy. Do it through all the vicissitudes of life. All the seasons that will come, do it. When people tell me, we didn't know you are going to this at that time, and you are still teaching your class, I will say, see, this is the one thing they tell I should do. I will not turn away from it because I will not say life happened or Nigeria happened. Never, ever. I belong to the Lord. I belong to the Lord. I'm his bond servant. I do whatever he says I should do. Obedience is key to my elevation. I know it from day one. I will never back away from it. And one of the things he said we should do, why we do this prayer every month, is that we should give to the poor. So as I collect the first offering for this prayer today, know that I'm asking that you obey the Lord according to his word. He said, there are so many people in the world that will need support and help. We are here as Christians, placed there to be the one that will take care of them. The widows, the orphans, the less privileged, those who are being used as instruments in the hand of the wicked, those who are touts, street urchins, pickpockets, people in prison, the orphans and the fatherless, those who have no hope in this world. It's our duty as believers to give them. But as a ministry, we don't just give them arbitrarily. But no, the Lord said every 3 months, we do a day, 24 hours prayers, and that the offering we collect should go to them. We've been consistent with this. I think now this will be the third year. This will be the seventh or eighth prevailing prayer that we are doing. And so I'm asking, you give unto them, you give unto the Lord in obedience. It doesn't matter how much. God, the obedience that God wants us to do, the kind of obedience we do, is not obedience of impressing God. When you obey God, you don't impress God. God expects us to obey him. So nobody is obedient to say, God is impressed that I'm obedient. No, it is normal for a child of God to be obedient. And so do the normal thing and obey God. As you give, the Lord will bless you. The key to coming up higher will be handed over to you. Your life, your ministry, your work will show forth the abundance of the grace of God. The words you've heard me teach today, if any of them is like a reminder or a turnkey in your heart, please respond to the word. Change where you need to change. Adjust where you need to adjust. Adjust where you need to adjust. Drop habits that are contentious against the progress of your destiny. Drop them. That will dishonor you. Drop them. Learn to be consistent and learn to obey God. The hand of the Lord is upon you. The glory of Zion is upon you and your children. You will never lack. You will never beg. Financially, the Lord will draw you up higher. And the level at which your river was last month, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it begins to overflow its banks now. You begin to notice extra channels, tributaries, bringing new water into your river to turn it into a mighty ocean. Thank you, Father, for blessing us. Thank you for the power that is in your word. Thank you because every day we grow in glory, in grace, and in power. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you for your children. Thank you for joy unspeakable, full of glory. We love you with all of our hearts. We declare that you are mighty. 10 p.m. today, we have another class, open class. I know your children will join and our joy will be full. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let the blessing of the Lord shout glory.
We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.